CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live Bible answer program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. If you have a question on the Bible or the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN. Now let's get things started. Here's today's host.
Well, welcome. Welcome to every Man an Answer. We endeavor to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible. I'm Scott Spencer. I'm the assistant pastor here at the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls. And I am on with you for today with Pastor Greg Blunk from Calvary Chapel of Rapid City, South Dakota.
And Phoenix, Rapid City, South Dakota. That's right. That's
I also understand that he is a state legislator, so that should make it interesting. So
go figure. Yeah.
What's on your mind, Greg?
Well, thanks for bringing that up. It's wonderful to be on with you and have an opportunity to chat with our faithful team of folks out there.
Yeah.
What's on my mind is that the world is getting nuttier and nuttier by the day. Do you think that Jesus is coming soon, Scott?
Yeah, I would say pretty soon. Yeah,
I think so. I'm doing an end of year right before Christmas. I'm doing an end of year prophecy update at the church. And you know, Jesus said in Luke 21, he said, when you see these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draws near. And you know, think of what we read in Matthew, where Jesus gives the predictions of what's going to be happening in the last days, and wars and rumors of wars and all the crazy stuff that's going on in Ukraine and in Israel. But, you know, there's also wars in the Sudan, Syria. I'm sure that that's going to come up today. There's wars in Ethiopia and Myanmar and Armenia and Azerbaijan, you know, and those aren't sexy wars, even though people are getting killed every day. They're just not in the headlines. They're not clickbait for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But we have to remember that we're seeing the times that Jesus told us was going to be. You know, we're told in the last days that there's going to be geological catastrophes everywhere. And I'm a recovered Californian. I'm an ex-Californian. So just last week, I think, right, our California listeners, maybe they will call in, want to share a little bit about that. But 7.2 earthquake, you know, off the coast of the Pacific Ocean. And people are going, well, praise the Lord. You know, it didn't happen on the mainland. But they forget, right? Because when it's off the coast, it can create a tsunami, and that tsunami, you know, 50-foot wave, that could cause a lot more damage and a lot more, a lot more body bags than just an earthquake that is here on dry land. And,
right.
You know, lots of crazy stuff going on out there. What do you think about this business in Syria?
Yeah, that's, I don't know, I had kind of predicted that would happen a lot sooner than it did. But I read that our illustrious president managed to slip them $10 billion in the last few moments of his presidency, so that was something.
That he did for Iran. What is wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, I want to be gracious, but what is wrong? Did we learn nothing when we gave them when we gave them $150 billion because they're not giving them money, but it's giving them release from their from their obligations and they're no longer being held. It's their money, but
Call in with your questions, 888-27-5276-8888-ASK-CSN. You got a question? We've got a few open lines here, I see. And, well, let's go ahead and get started with our first caller here, Joe. Joe, go ahead and give us your question.
Hello. We're told to love our enemies and pray for those that persecute us. So I was wondering, does that mean that we should love Satan, who's our enemy, and pray for Satan because he persecutes us?
That's a great question. Yeah, pray for Satan. Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe we should pray for Satan. I don't know. What do you say, Greg?
Negative, Ghost Rider. Right. No, no, no. You know, Satan is there. You know, obviously Satan's a created being. You know, he's created as Lucifer, you know, the anointed cherub. It was the archangel of light. He saw God in all his glory, and yet he still chose to rebel against him. I think that Jesus is, you know, if Jesus told us to pray for Satan, then we would. But he's talking about, in that passage, he's talking about us praying for those on the horizontal. They're talking about mankind. And he knew, and Joe, you probably know this, you've probably experienced this, it's not easy to pray for those who hate you or persecute you or always putting you down. So my answer is no, we're not praying for Satan. What about you? What do you think, Pastor Scott?
Yeah, you know, Satan, I always think about this when I think about Satan. Satan was the music director. It says that he was able to produce fabulous music. He was the worship leader, and says
of
he
heaven,
appears.
Right.
Yeah, he appears as an angel of light. He appears as something beautiful. You know, in the movies, cinematographers always want to present Satan as being this. Well, they don't always. I've noticed a few shows that I've seen lately. They do present Satan as being handsome or you know, he's not a horrible being. But there's always that flip side of Satan where he appears to be, he's horrific in appearance. And you know, pride comes before the fall, and that was Satan's problem. Satan got proud. And he felt like that he should have the place of God. And there are certain religions out there who you know, ultimately their belief is that they will be a god, or they will be God, God of their own planet, God of their own universe.
Yeah.
And pride comes before the fall. So it's a lot easier to humble ourselves. Don't get too proud. Don't get too caught up in yourself. Don't get too full of yourself. That's always a thing that I think about when I think about Satan, you know, is that pride comes and I've got a mental block right now. I can't think of the,
a hint. I'll help you out. He's the accuser of the brethren for sure, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Satan is always the accuser. Satan always reminds us of where our shortcomings come in. Satan always, he knows our weak spots. Satan knows our weak spots. You know, for men, I hate to say this, men, but sometimes women are our problem. Sometimes money is our problem. Sometimes things are our problem. You know, I know some men who, they love their cars so much that their cars kind of come before their family. And all of those things are those things always relate to pride, don't they? They relate to I deserve this thing, or I deserve this position, I deserve this promotion, I deserve this money. Pride always comes in, and so I don't know that we should so much like pray for Satan, but we should definitely pray not just for ourselves, but for other people. You know, God keep us humble. God use us however you can use us, absolutely. And if that's in a great way, wow, that's fabulous, you know. But if it's in a small way, you know, just be humble and recognize that we were just talking before the show that, you know, we always depend on God to show up on this very show, because I don't feel very qualified sometimes to answer. We get crazy questions on this radio show, and I'm like, where does that even come from, you know? But God always shows up, and that's what we depend on. We depend on God to show up, and we don't feel like we're you know, all that qualified in ourselves. We're just let God use us however he can use us. So, yeah, that's about all I can say on that. You got anything else, Greg?
No. Does that answer your question, Joe?
Yes, it does. Thank you so very much.
Great. I
appreciate you calling in.
Great. Well, let's go to James. We got a couple of open lines, 8888 to, let's see. I always have to have a problem with this. 888-27-5276.
Ask CSN.
Yeah, 8888, ask CSN, call in, and we'll get you on. We've got a couple of open lines. Let's go to James. Genesis 16:50 is
Pastor.
What I see. Yes, James. What is your question, James?
Hey, Pastor, in Genesis 16 and chapter 21, when the angel of the Lord spoke to Hagar and said, hey, you know, that Ishmael would be a great nation, is that where they separated? Because Hagar, the angel of the Lord, had spoken to her, and then he said that, you know, he was going to be like a servant and always at war, never content. Is that where Islam?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Short answer is yes. That was not God's plan. So God's plan was that he was going to create a miracle, that Isaac would be born. It would be done in his way. This kind of goes back to the issue of pride that we were just talking about. Sometimes we really are, we are absolutely certain that God has told us something that he's going to do. And we sit around watching, we're waiting, and we're like, God, where are you? What's going on? I don't see anything happening here. And we feel like, oh, maybe God needs a little help. So we pitch in with our little bit of help here, Abraham and Sarah. You know, Sarah says, well, maybe this is what you need to do. Maybe, you know, maybe you should take the maid. And Abraham says, yeah, that sounds good to me. And so they go out, and now we have this mess that has been playing out for decades. And this is what happens.
Millennia.
When people, millennia, yeah. And then there's no, the end will be in the end, right? This is going to go on until the very end. Yeah, Greg, go ahead.
Well, James, thanks for your question. Where do you live in Corona? What area do you live in?
I live off the 91 and the 15.
Okay, well, I'm a San Diegan, but ex-San Diegan.
Did you need a passport to get out of California, Greg? Did they require a passport at the border?
That's funny. You know, when people move to South Dakota, I initially just tell them, hey, welcome to the free state of South Dakota, because it's not a perfect state, but we don't have a lot of the restrictions that some of the states do. So, James, thanks for calling in. Thanks for your question. As Pastor Scott was just saying, it wasn't Abram's idea. It was Sarah's or Sarai's idea, and he shouldn't have listened. One of the times, man, you probably shouldn't listen to your wife when they're saying go ahead of God, because that never works out well. Yep. So she says, well, honey, I want you to take my Egyptian slave girl and I want you to sleep with her and have maybe the promise, right? That maybe the promise will come through her. And so he says, okay, baby, you know, if that's what you want, I'll take one. I'll take one for the team. And does. But you know what happens? That eventually she gets she gets jealous, starts treating Hagar harshly, I think is how the Bible puts it. And so she is basically cast out into the wilderness. And I think the way that the Bible describes this kid Ishmael is that he's going to be a wild, remember, I think this is this guy, isn't he going to be a wild donkey?
Yes,
of a man, and that everyone's hand is going to be against him, and he's going to live in hostility to his brothers. So nobody sins in a bubble. Mm-hmm. You know, this sin, look at the problem that it has caused, like Scott said, for millennia, when it just didn't have to be that way. So that's a great question, James. Does that answer for you?
Yes, sir, Pastor. Thank you so much for taking my call, and I love you.
We love you too. And you might want to stay on the line. I'm sure that our screeners will, if you give them some information, they'd be more than happy to send you out some of the booklets that we have, and maybe a video or two. So, all right, Scott, back to you, brother.
I always forget that, but anybody who's calling in, we always send you a thank you package, and It's actually worth a fair amount of dollars if you add up the dollars. So you definitely want that. Well, let's go to, let's see, what are we up to? Josh in Everett, Washington. Josh, are you there? What's your question, Josh?
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, yeah, that was a really good question that was asked. I was just thinking of, like, what would happen if Isaac gave the blessing to his first son, Esau, instead of Jacob, but that's not my question right now. My question right now would be, well, growing up, I always knew Jesus was the Son of God, and then I started hearing Jesus is God, and at first I would think, well, he's not God, he's the Son of God. I mean, my question to you guys would be, what are ways that Jesus is the same as God, and then what are also other ways that would make him different from his Father God?
Yeah, so you're talking about the concept of the Trinity there, and it's Trinity is a pretty abstract concept, and it's not always easily understood by people. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In one way, they are separate. You know, you had Jesus being baptized by John, so Jesus is in the water. God is in heaven speaking, and then the Holy Spirit is coming down on Jesus in that moment. And God says, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." And Greg, how would you respond to that, Greg?
Yeah, that, you know, I've been a pastor for probably 30 years, and I don't know if I've ever heard that. That question, Josh. So good on you for asking it. Number one, I think that we need to remember that obviously, same God, different person. There are three persons in the triune Godhead. And the first thing that comes to mind that would be different is that God the Father has never had a corporal body. He's never had a body of flesh. Remember, the Word, and it says in John 1:14, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Other ways, the Bible ascribes creation to that all three persons of the Godhead were there in that. And a lot of people don't understand that Jesus is the eternal Word of God. He's always
That's right.
He didn't take on human flesh.
He's not created. Yeah.
He's not a created being. Yeah. And like Pastor Scott said, how do you explain an infinite God in the finite terms of mankind? So there are some things that are the secret things are of the Lord. So how did God come into existence? The Bible never never tries to describe that. It just gives his attributes. I'm trying to think if there are any other differences that you could like a list. I don't think I've ever been asked that question. But it's hard for our little buck 40, buck 50. What's genius IQ? Maybe 140. Mm-hmm. I mean, 200 would be somebody that is in the top 0.00 points.
Elon Musk.
You know, yeah. Yes, and even the Einsteins, even the geniuses of the world can't even start to plumb the depths of defining the infinite omniscient God. So does that answer your question, Josh?
Yes, it does. I understand that Jesus is the Son of God, and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus is powerful, and mm-hmm. he's sinless, he's perfect, and so is God, you know. And it was just a question I've always had because you know, like I said, growing up, I'm thinking, well, Jesus is the Son of God. And one day in Sunday school, the question came up, is Jesus God and God the same? Like, is Jesus God? And one student said, yes, he is. And I said, no, they're not. They're different. But I see it. They're same in ways and same and different in other ways. Like, you know, Jesus came in human form, and the Lord God is God, and His Holy Spirit's everywhere. So, thank you guys for taking my call.
Josh, let me blow your mind with one more, and it's not new information. Sounds like you're a Bible student, so this isn't new information to you, but just read through it sometime today and let the Holy Spirit blow your mind on just how immense these statements are. So, you know, this is John 1:1. You know, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it goes on, it says, he was in the beginning with God. And it says, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Mm-hmm. And just so God the Father creates, and God the Son is involved in the creation process as well. We learn that again from Colossians 1. I think it's maybe verses 16 and 17. But how great it is that we serve a God that is not understandable, right, to our human minds.
Yeah, and I just would add to that a little bit. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes into Christians, when they become a Christian, the Holy Spirit enters into them, then God's presence is within you. His presence is within you. So you know, if you're willing to listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you, God's talking to you directly, you know. So and Jesus even was kind of in a similar situation. You know, think about him praying. He's praying to God the Father. You know, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying. He's asking God, you know, if it be possible, let this pass from me. He tells his disciples, he says, I don't know when the end is going to be. Only God the Father knows. So there is a definite difference there with him. Now, I don't know if that was just when he was on earth. You know, I believe Jesus gave up some of his divinity, some of his divine aspects when he became human on this earth. He gave up some of that. How much? I don't really know. And we know that if he had called on the Father to give him that back, that God probably would have given it back to him. I think that, you know. But he definitely gave up some aspects of his divinity when he came down on this earth, and it was voluntary. He gave it up voluntarily. And so there, like Pastor Greg said, there are some definite differences, but nonetheless, God is very much connected with Jesus. God, of course, the Holy Spirit is God's presence, and he gives that to us when we become a Christian. We just need to submit ourselves to what the Holy Spirit tells us, and just as like we were talking about Abraham and Sarah, don't get ahead of God, you know. Let God work things out. Let him open up, let him close things, let him direct, let him guide. So, yeah. Do you have any other comments on that, Josh? We're all good. Stay on the line, Josh, and we will send you some things. Let's go to Tony in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Tony, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are y'all?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have a baptism question. Okay, so I believe, you know, Christians, like, we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Is that correct? Yes, or no?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I have friends that are Pentecostal, and they believe it's adamant that, you know, you'd be baptized in the name of Jesus. And I was just curious. I mean, why did the people on the day of Pentecost get baptized in the name of Jesus if we're supposed to do it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Oh, that is a very good question. Pastor Greg, I'm going to throw that one right to you. We have about 2 minutes left, less than 2 minutes. So
okay.
we'll continue when we're after the break. We'll continue this. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, Pastor Greg.
Well, first thing, Tony, I want you to say y'all again. It's just great. Say it again. Say y'all.
Don't,
there we go. Thank you. That just, you just said it and it made me smile. So my answer to your question, it all focuses around the word authority, you know, in the name of Jesus. All that means is authority. So it's not specifically, it doesn't specifically have to be the actual tangible name Jesus. That's like stop in the name of the law. You probably, maybe you're too young to remember that, but people used to say that, stop in the name of the law, or saying stop in the authority of the law. So what I do when I do baptisms, and I encourage pastors just to consider this so that this kind of stuff doesn't come up, because we do run across some hyper-Pentecostals that will say, well, if you were baptized in a name, specifically saying the name of Jesus, then your your baptism isn't valid. So what we do, you know, obviously in Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus gave all of us, he gave us the Great Commission, and we're to go therefore and to baptize. Well, let's do this. Scott, is it okay if we just take this up on the other side of the break?
Yeah, let's
Tony,
go to the other side.
Around?
Yeah, we got a little break coming up here. 8888 Ask CSN if you want to call in. We do have one line open, and we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before December 15th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is December 15th. So call now. You'll save even more. Here's the number. 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Welcome to Every Man an Answer. We endeavor to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible here. I'm Scott Spencer. I'm the assistant pastor at the River Christian Fellowship here in Twin Falls, Idaho. And I'm on with Pastor Greg Blunk, Calvary Chapel of Rapid City, South Dakota. And we were kind of in mid-question there. So, Greg, could you go ahead and pick up where you left off, maybe recap the question a bit?
Okay, so Tony has a great question, and it's not a question that only she's had. I've had this one many, many, many times, because we are told in the Great Commission, you know, Jesus said, go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age, okay? But also on, like Tony mentioned, on the day of Pentecost, Peter was telling his Jewish audience, right, that they needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And I was briefly explaining that the name, that word in the Greek, it just basically means the authority. So when we baptize, we are baptizing in the authority of the name of Jesus. I know that a lot of people are looking for formulas and everything, but you have to remember what baptism is. Baptism is just you identifying after you have committed your heart to Christ. There's no such thing as infant baptism, so babies shouldn't be baptized. That's not biblical. But baptism is done once a person has called on the name of the Lord, received forgiveness of their sin, and desires to live for Christ. And that's why we have Romans 6, that Romans 6 says that we are to be baptized and full immersion when possible, and then coming up out of the water, it's like you're going into the grave, you're dying to the old man or the old woman, that you're coming up out of the water as a new person. And in verse 4 there in Romans 6, it says that we're to walk in newness of life. So Tony, let me help you with this. And anybody else, even some church leaders who are out there, cause they're going to get that question, because some people, they latch onto that like a pit bull, you know, on a pork chop. And so what I do when I baptize people, I baptize them. I now baptize, you know, it's my privilege. What I'll say is something like, you know, it's my privilege now to baptize you, Tony, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the matchless name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, according to God, what is he looking at? He's looking that you want to identify with him. So he's not looking for a formula. He's not looking for a specific word. He's looking at the condition of our heart. But unfortunately, God looks at the heart and man looks at the outside. So we're always looking to do so. That just alleviates anybody from ever having somebody lay a guilt trip on them down the road. Well, oh, so you are only baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but not in the actual name of Jesus. I don't think that your baptism is valid. So it's a little bit of semantics, but it gives people the assurance that they never have to deal with somebody coming up to them and giving them a hard time because they didn't follow the formula that they feel is best, because both are biblical, right? Both of them are biblical. So Tony, does that help you out?
Yes, it does. To me, the Son and Jesus is the same thing.
Well,
so,
of course.
I kind of felt like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit covered it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it does. Some people just, I'm not going to call them legalistic. Maybe that's just the way that they were raised, or they just got to burn their saddle on that. I'm not going to throw down over it. I'm going to check the boxes so that, as long as it's not compromised, I'm going to check the boxes so that never becomes a problem to that person who's been baptized.
Yeah. The Bible says, Scott, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, believe in your heart and say it. And so some of us, a lot of us probably, we do kind of what we refer to as an altar call. At the end of a message, we will invite people to pray what is loosely termed as the sinner's prayer. And once in a while I hear criticism about that. They say the sinner's prayer is not in the Bible. And they're right. It isn't. But we're told to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. We're saying what has happened in our heart. We're saying we want Jesus to be the Lord of our heart. Same thing with baptism. the actual words that we say in a baptism are probably less important than the fact that we're doing the baptism. We were told to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that is Jesus. And we do that. But if you were, you know, beyond that, like Pastor Greg would probably have, he would say something very different from what I would say. And Pastor Mike says something a little different than what I say. The words are probably the least important part of it, other than the fact that we do want to baptize in the name of Jesus, of course. But that's what, as Pastor Greg said, that's what we're being baptized into. So sometimes people get hung up on the actual terminology or the words. We just shouldn't focus on that. That shouldn't be the focus. The focus should be on Jesus. You know, this is all about Jesus anyway, right? This is all about Jesus. It's all about what Jesus does in our heart. He does a work in my life that's a little different than somebody else's life. The important part is that we believe in more, we believe in our heart, and we say it with our mouth. We live it out. We say it with our words. We say it with our actions, and that's the most important part. So, I hope that answers your question, Tony. Well, it's probably more complete than you actually needed, but it's a great question. That's a really important point. It's a great question. So let's go to Roger in Marble, Minnesota. Roger, what is your question?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a guy in our Bible study where it's a church. The fella and his wife feel led to setting up a church just about 20 miles from where I live. And we do have a Bible study going now. And one of the guys there says that he's got a video of a pastor who is a gospel preaching pastor, but he's got proof that Trump is the Antichrist. And that just troubles me because first off, spiritually, you know, like it says, and I think in Second Thessalonians chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit is restraining the Antichrist right now. And then when he removes us, you know, when the Holy Spirit is removed and we go, you know, because the Holy Spirit is in us, that the restraining is gone, and that's when the Antichrist would arise. But there's so many things that Trump stands for, like he's a nationalist, he's not a globalist. His daughter Ivanka married a Jewish guy. He's got two grandchildren that are half Jewish, and he's wore a yarmulke. He's been to the Wailing Wall. The embassy has been moved to Jerusalem under Trump, and it just troubles me. And what do you think? I've thought about doing a study on this and maybe just asking some questions of this guy and stuff, but what do you think?
Well, I don't think that, I do not believe that President Trump meets the qualifications of what we're told that the Antichrist is going to be, first of all. And you're absolutely right. Our prayers are, at this point, restraining the Antichrist, and God obviously has used President Trump in ways that are fulfilling prophecy. I'm not well versed in this. I'm trying to think of the qualifications of the Antichrist, and I'm kind of pulling a blank right now. So I'm going to throw it over to Pastor Greg.
Yeah, you know, anybody who's telling you that they know who the Antichrist is before the Antichrist comes on the scene, sometimes you just got to smile and nod. There are a lot of well-meaning folks out there that that extrapolate things out biblically a lot further than they should. Mm-hmm. He'd probably be an interesting guy to sit down with and try to reason with on those issues, but I don't when people tell me these kinds of things, and I'm sure that Pastor Scott has had people tell him some crazy stuff before as well, in my younger days I would throw down about so many things, and these days it's just not beneficial, it's not edifying to my soul to talk about things that we don't have, where the Bible is silent. Remember, Pastor Chuck would always tell us, where the Bible is silent, so am I. And if people want to talk about these things ad nauseum, then I'll, you know, things like saying that our president or next president is the Antichrist, just smile and walk away. As far as you doing a study on the attributes of the Antichrist, that's worthwhile. I've done that. I've taught through that many times. But we have to remember that those that believe in the preponderance of the biblical support leaning to a pre-trib rapture, we're not going to be here. We're not going to know who the Antichrist is. And so I know that Scott would agree with this. And how many times have you heard Pastor Mike say, hey, you know, I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. That's why in Luke 21:28, he said, when you see these things begin to happen, lift up your head, because your redemption draws near. So does that help you out there, Roger?
Well, I was thinking, yeah, it does. Especially, when you guys are talking about what God would have to say and everything. And, but I'm just worried about younger Christians that are there that, see this movie and, you know, it just seems like there's this, force that is trying to turn our world towards, and it's part of the end times. I think we are pretty much close to the rapture, but they're trying to force it. And what about younger Christians being kind of drawn in that, maybe, you know, I could do a background check on the Antichrist, but then add in some of the things that Trump has been doing too. And not to get real radical and, you know, flames and hot coals from the pulpit, so to speak. But
well, I think that it's like Pastor Greg just said, you know, we need to focus on what the important part is. And the important part is that people know Jesus. If they know Jesus, if they know what Scripture teaches, and Scripture does tell us some aspects of the Antichrist. And if you are aware of those, you're going to know, you know, you're going to know that, but it's just like Pastor Greg says, we're not going to be here. I think Scripture is pretty clear about that. You know, we're gone. We are as you said, we are the restraining force. The prayers of Christians are the restraining force, and he doesn't have freedom until we're gone. So God basically throws his hands up at that point and says, all right, this is what you were asking for, and so this is, there you go. And then the end times will play out. But just like Pastor Mike always says, and I think you said Pastor Chuck did too, we don't focus on the Antichrist. And maybe if there's young Christians who are kind of being sucked into that, you know, maybe just kind of redirect them. Look, God wants you to look like Jesus. How are you going to look like Jesus? You're going to look like Jesus by focusing on his word. You're going to focus on serving him. You're going to focus on, you're going to, you know, let his Holy Spirit have freedom in your heart. And that makes you look like Jesus. We don't worry about those other things. I remember back when COVID was huge, and every pastor that I knew was talking about end times, and I felt this exactly the same way. But for me, myself, I didn't want to focus on that. I wanted to focus on what's my relationship with Jesus. What's my relationship with God? Am I doing what God is telling me to do? And then I don't worry about anything else. You know, I try to not let my mind go there, because Satan loves to distract us into things that are maybe not irrelevant, but minor, you know. The important thing should stay the important thing, and that's that our focus is on Jesus, our focus is on serving him, our focus is on knowing him. Jesus himself said, if you want to know what the Father looks like, then look at me, look at him. Jesus said, I don't do anything except for what I see the Father doing, and I don't say anything except for what I hear the Father saying. And so for us, you know, we follow Jesus. We want to look to him. We want to look like him. We want to sound like him. And the only way we can do that is by focusing on him, focusing on his word. And for new Christians, that absolutely should be the focus. You want to know what God looks like? Find out what Jesus looks like. And that should be your focus. Don't get all distracted by end time stuff. It's interesting. It's fascinating. I love it. But the focus should stay on Jesus. 8888 asks CSN. We got one line open. Not sure how far we'll get here, but go ahead and call in if you get a chance. I hope that answered your question, Roger.
Yeah, that's a good point. This final one is a good point, too. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Stay on the line. We'll send you some little parting gifts. And let's go to Christina in San Jose, California.
Well, hello. I have a question about, you know, you were saying at the beginning of the show how Biden, he gave billions of dollars to the other countries. Are we able to get any of that money back now that Trump's going to be in office?
Ooh, that's a good question. I doubt it. I doubt it. I would love, you know, I'm interesting point. Okay. Point of personal confession or whatever. I turned 62 in a few weeks and, I've never really thought that much about, you know, retirement or anything. I don't think retirement's really biblical anyway, so I'm probably not retiring anytime soon, but I was thinking about my Social Security and I was like, you know, if we would stop giving all of this money to countries that hate us, who are just bombing other countries, then we would have money for Social Security. So I don't know. Maybe that's a little bit selfish there. But, yeah, I don't think we're ever going to see a dime of that back. Pastor Greg, what do you say?
Well, Christina, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer for the second time today, but negative Ghost Rider is the answer. No, we're not getting any of that money back, but praise the Lord that we have somebody in there that actually knows what a budget is. And right. And this, you know, there's a lot of momentum of spending that both Republicans and Democrats have done for decades and decades and decades. And, you know, with some of the people that President Trump has appointed to positions, I think that we're going to be cutting some spending. And I think that we're going to reduce we won't reduce the debt, but we'll reduce the spending. You know, that we're $34 trillion. That's a number that none of us can really comprehend. $34 trillion. Our country is not going to recover. No country in history has ever recovered from a $32 trillion debt. And yet, at the same time, can we slow it down? Yes. Me going into this role and becoming a state senator, I get asked all the time. I was even asked by the governor and lieutenant governor when I had my interview, when there was a possibility of being appointed to that role when there's a vacancy in my district. And, you know, what legislation do you want to bring forward? And I just thought, well, number one, that's a year away. And two is that I would rather reduce regulation. I'd rather free people up to be able to do what they want to do. I want to keep everything at a local level as much as possible and get everybody to realize that this isn't our money that we're spending. It's the taxpayers' money that we're spending. And I think that's kind of where your heart is right now, Christina, is like, what are my kids going to do? What are my grandkids going to do when right now their portion of the debt is, and Scott, maybe you know, it's $250,000 to $260,000 per person in our country. So no, we won't get that money back, but there is a great probability that we will be tightening the belt with a new sheriff in town. Pastor Scott?
Yeah, and I certainly hope so, because you know, I believe it's a part of our Christian duty to take care of our children, to provide a provide a world that they can live in, and I'm disturbed about what I see. I'll just leave it at that. I hope that answers your question, Christina. But I agree, it's very disturbing. So let's go to Alan in Lawn, Texas. He's got a comment about the Trinity, it looks like. Go ahead, Alan.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a comment on the caller that called in a while ago that mm-hmm. was talking about Jesus Christ being the Son of God, and I wanted to kind of mention about how our feeble minds have a hard time wrapping our brains around that, and the way I like to look at it is like the egg. You got the egg shell, you got the egg white, and you got the egg yolk, and you take any one of those parts out of it, and you still have the egg, and that's like the Trinity, you know, and when it's explained to me like that, I have a better time wrapping my head around it, because I know when Jesus said he was God, they wanted to stone him and kill him, you know, because they said that was blasphemy. But whenever I think about the egg, I get a more true feeling of understanding how they're all three in one, you know, and I mm-hmm. wanted to say that out to that caller just to kind of, you know, paint that picture a little better, because I think he still had a hard time understanding that, you know, Jesus is God.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says these three are one. So it is a very abstract thing. It's abstract to think about how God can be present over the entire world, everybody in every nation, in every place. The Holy Spirit, he does that, you know, through the Holy Spirit as well. It's very abstract. It's difficult for us as people to be able to understand how that all works. And to think too, you know, God is not restrained by time. Time is not a limiting factor for God. God is not limited by any of the laws of our world that we live in today. You know, Jesus, when he resurrected, he was able to walk through walls. He could go from one place to another immediately. And yet at the same time, he was able to walk with his disciples. He was able to talk with them. He ate. He did all the things that he did as a human, but he was not limited. So it is difficult for us to understand. You know, there was the old thing about describing the Holy Spirit as a three-leafed clover, three-leaf shamrock. The whole thing is a shamrock or a clover, but the leaves are individual parts. So it's same for God. There's God. He's a distinct aspect of God. The Holy Spirit is an aspect of God. Jesus is an aspect of God. It says that God became flesh through Jesus, and three separate and yet all in one. They're all God. So to say that Jesus is God is accurate. To say that Jesus is Jesus is also accurate. Greg, you got anything to add to that?
Yeah, we're running up towards the end of the program. Yeah. So I'll do this as briefly as possible. As a pastor, well, even years ago, and still today, I hear lots of pastors describe the Trinity in that way. Alan, you know, like you said, you know, as an egg, because you have the shell and you have the yolk and you have the white portion, and yet it's all one. One egg also sometimes describe like water can be a solid in a chunk of ice. It can be liquid in what we have the water coming out of our faucets, and then through the atmosphere when it goes through evaporation, it can be a gas. And I appreciate and I respect those attempts, you know, at describing the triune God that way. But I usually won't. Only because, and this isn't a knock on anybody who does, but I just, God is just, you know, so far beyond the description of an egg or of water that he never tries to describe. He never tries to personally. He never gives us an "it is written" on this is the Trinity, and I think that's one of the things that I respect most mm-hmm. about my God, is that he is omnipotent, he is omniscient, he is omnipresent. So That's a wonderful question, Alan, and I bet you lots of people have asked that before.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, I hear the music.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Stay on the line, you guys that called in, and we'll send you something. We appreciate you. Thank you, Pastor Greg. That was a great show, so join us tomorrow at the same time and same place, and hopefully we'll have a great time tomorrow. Thank you.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.